Today on Oski Talk, we talk about Illini football's recruiting pipeline in Florida. We pose the question on if Illinois has an in-state recruiting issue, and we recap the Illini's latest player in the MLB. Here we go.
This won't end well for Illinois.
Here's a three. It ended well.
McCourt for the win. In the air. It is up. And it is gone.
Fourth and 16. Pressure comes. And Matt Orbebe with the ball in the air. Makes the catch. Yes.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Oski Talk. My name is Anthony Pasquale with Patrick Catazone, and welcoming back to the show, Mariah Guzman again. First, we want to start off with Happy Father's Day to any of you fathers listening. Hope you enjoyed your day yesterday. We're going to get right into it today. Illinois still recruiting very well in Florida.
Yeah, this week was a pretty big week. They picked up three guys from Florida, Joriel Washington, Theodore Lockley, and Dylan Rosiak. A couple of great recruits. I think we should start off with the guy who recruited first of that group. Dylan Rosiak comes from the same high school as none other than our current linebacker, Michael linebacker, Jake Hansen. He's going to play very similar to Hansen. I think a big thing when it came to recruiting Rosiak to Illinois was his speed. So you're going to see a lot of that the same, you know, kind of the same way that we saw Jake Hansen use it. And frankly, we need more linebackers. So it was nice to get another defensive recruit. And that's just something that I trust the staff with. Frankly, I think defensively, they find guys that fit Lovey's program, his version of the Tampa 2. And you got that with the two defensive recruits, Dylan Rosiak and Joriel Washington.
Right. I also think it's funny because I didn't realize that he went to the same high school as Hansen until you guys said something, because I just watched his tape without reading anything first. And after I went back and you guys told me that, I was like, well, that makes 100% sense. Just like the way that I watched him on the field. And also his speed is insane. And he's pretty explosive too. So I kind of like seeing that out of him. And being in high school, that's kind of something that you can easily develop. So it was good to see him having like a great base for that.
Yeah, and you look at Lovie Smith's defenses of the past, even just dating back to last year, linebacker heavy, you know, Jake Hansen, Daley Harding, Milo Eifler. So another speedy guy who, like you said, Mariah, has some explosiveness that'll fit right in, whether it's, as soon as 2021 or a little bit later.
Another important thing to add to that, he had 8 forced fumbles his junior year, which is another thing. Lovie Smith is looking for a guy who could pound the ball out of the hands.
Right.
and recover some turnovers. He had an interception as well, but, you know, those hard-hitting guys that can force the ball out of the hands of receivers or guys that, you know, Lovie Smith wants to have. So this is another nice addition to the recruiting class. And I think moving on, we can talk about a little bit about the other guy. On the defensive end, Joriel Washington, another guy, like I said, I think a big part in Lovey's recruiting both sides of the ball, but specifically defensively, is speed. And you're going to get that again with Washington.
And depth, too, is something I noticed, too.
Yeah, and I actually want to go back to Rosiak just for a second, because you mentioned the forced fumble thing, Pat. Maybe that's something that their coach is harping on, because Hansen actually was the guy doing it primarily for Illinois. I think he led the NCAA in forced fumbles. So maybe that's something those Florida kids are learning at a young age.
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe. Is that why Lovie Smith loves, is that why Illinois loves Florida?
Could be. They mold the same type of guys that Lovie Smith's defense likes, I guess.
I don't want to get back into the same argument that we had last week, but I also do, because you guys just still get on my nerves when you talk about that. Like, I do think we clearly have a pipeline to Florida, yeah. right? But I don't think that...
We'll talk a little bit about it a little bit later, because we'll talk about in-state recruiting next. But, I mean, back to these guys. Look, I just think defensively, too, and might as well mention Theodore Lockley, because I'm not sure where he fits in on the team just yet. It looks like he, in high school, at least primarily played wide receiver. So, you know, take everything what I say with a grain of salt. Don't know exactly where he fits in, but there's a mold of a player that Lovie Smith recruits. It's fast, physical, creates turnovers, stuff like that. The things that he can't necessarily teach are things that he looks for. But I think you look at former recruits, at least. I mean, Bobby Rountree was a low 3-star, but he molded him into the player that he was and became before his injury. I mean, there's plenty of guys, Tony Adams, Nate Hobbs. Those are guys that, I mean...
Daley,
right. They had the intangibles of... They had speed, stuff that he couldn't teach. And then he taught them, you know, how to play his defense and how to play good football. And, you know, they turn into great players. And some of those guys are going to get drafted this year. So, look, I trust Lovie Smith's ability to develop players. And that comes hand in hand with what he's been doing recruiting. Because I think this year the product is good enough. He's taught them well enough that even our low 3-star guys should be pretty good this year.
Yeah. Also, like, encompassing what you said, Lovie Smith just looks for adaptability, right? It's not you have to have the full package. It's if you have this one side of thing, we can make you a well-rounded athlete. And I think that's important as a coach for him to look at, because if he's okay with developing talent over time, then I think that's when you get a team that really shines, like the one that we saw this past season.
Yeah, and the other thing for me about Lovie that really sticks out is, like you said, Mariah, he tries to make you a well-rounded athlete, but it's also pretty apparent that his entire coaching staff also is trying to make you a well-rounded man, and the fact that that's mm-hmm. a priority in the locker room is just as big as winning on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, going back to our last guy, Lockley, it's not 100% clear where he's going to end up. Maybe ends up in the secondary as well, because Kenyoto Hudson was the guy who recruited him, and he's the D-back coach. So maybe that's where he fits on the team. But like we said, he's got a 4.39 40-yard dash time, right? That's speed right there. That's right. You can't teach that. Mm-hmm. And you could teach the other parts of the game. So, interesting stuff.
Yeah, and it definitely seems like they're kind of plugging all the holes on the roster for 2021, but there is one glaring thing that sticks out from this recruiting class, and it's the fact that Illinois, the flagship state school, hasn't been able to recruit in the state of Illinois so far. You know, they've hit Florida well, got some of the other southern states like Texas, but nothing in Illinois yet.
Nope, they don't have anything in Illinois. And, you know, we talked a little bit about this, but I think it comes down to this. You know, I tweeted about it. I had a couple of responses, including Mariah, saying that she really wanted to be on this podcast to talk about it. And we're lucky that she got to be on, because we always enjoy your company.
Currently, you know, in my car, but we're doing it.
Yeah, exactly. That's all we needed. Anyways, you know, there's some people that say, well, hey, a 3-star in Florida is top 20 in our state. That's not true. There's people saying, don't care. It's more the kids than the recruits. Let me go somewhere else. When we get this rolling, they'll keep going somewhere else. I don't agree with that either. It's this. You don't need Illinois recruits for Illinois to be good. We need guys who fit the mold of what the player that Lovie Smith wants. Like I said, he could teach the things that he could teach, as long as he could get the intangibles, the stuff that is natural to the players. Then you get the good. You got a good kid. You could teach him up, right? But
right.
the problem with not the issue, the bigger issue of not being able to recruit Illinois kids is that Illinois kids should want to come to Illinois. It shouldn't be a big battle to get them. And that's where I think the later comment was or the last comment was completely wrong. When you get this thing going, you'll get Illinois kids. That's hopefully what happens. You'll get the J.J. McCarthys to be like, hey, yeah, you know what? I do want to go to Illinois. I do want to win 8 games every year that I'm on campus. I want that. But we're just not at that point yet. That's a reality. We're almost there. Maybe we'll be there in the next 3, maybe another 4 years. But I really thought when Lovie Smith came here that this would just be just a byproduct of him coming, that we'd get more Illinois kids. And that's just not what's happening. You know, this is year 4. This is when that should already be happening. We got 0 from Illinois, 6 from Florida, 2 from Georgia, 1 from Texas, and another from Missouri. You know, it's not happening right away. And it doesn't need to happen right away, but it should happen soonish.
Or at some point, yeah. But also, one of the replies that you had on that tweet was saying, oh, our high school is just blacklisting Illinois football. Like, no, I don't think that that's happening at all, unless you guys do.
You know,
I don't.
Why? There's no reason for that. Like,
it gets shaky. I think that I don't want to say that that's across the board, because it's definitely not, but that's what happens in recruiting, right? I mean, look at basketball.
Mm-hmm.
The old U of I Simeon pipeline is completely gone because of how we recruited just a couple guys, right? Like that, I think that is the nature of recruiting, if there is some judgment to it. And I wouldn't say it's across the board where it would like be like, wow, yeah, no Illinois kids because high school coaches in Illinois hate Illinois. Like that's clearly not it. But yeah, I mean, that is a thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a thing, but I don't think there's like, I don't think J.J. McCarthy wanted to go to Illinois and the Naz coach was like, no, not Illinois, choose somewhere else. We don't like Illinois. Like, I don't think it's right. That, like, black and white.
I don't think so either, but I think J.J. McCarthy is a really good example of a guy, a top recruit in the state of Illinois. For the record, J.J. McCarthy grew up 2 blocks away from where I live.
Subtle flex.
Yeah, small flex. I knew him when he was.
Oh my god! Did you play? Put it.
He's really small.
T-ball against. That's all I gotta say. Get on with it, man. Come on.
No, I definitely didn't. He's way younger than me. anyways, yeah, subtle flex there. But back to my point. He's a guy who goes to Michigan, top recruit at quarterback. One of the most, you know, important positions on a team. It's recruits like those that, were we even in J.J. McCarthy's mind? No, we probably weren't. It was probably between Michigan, you know, Clemson. I'm trying to think of the big players that recruited him. But, you know, Illinois wasn't even in his mind. Like, what's it going to take and when will that happen to when we could get into the head?
Well, do you think that it's also just too soon to see that happen? I mean, it was just this past season that Illinois was climbing up. So are we also just discrediting their recruiting too much? Because, like, it's not like it's been 5 years with 5 consecutive bowl game appearances and 5 consecutive winning seasons. Like, we've had 1, you know? So why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. Because, like, how is Illinois, even though it's the in-state kid, how are you going to match up in the same conference against Ohio State or Wisconsin or Michigan? Those are the 3 Big Ten teams that offered him. LSU even offered him, and he decided to go to Michigan instead. So that's the one thing. I also have, like, 3 things that I've thought of while you guys both were talking. First of all, I played high school baseball against Cole Komet.
Oh my
second
god.
Second of all, JJ McCarthy is interesting because he's not an Illinois recruit anymore. He transferred to Florida. And my question is, if he was in Florida the whole time, does he consider Illinois?
Just because he was in Florida?
I mean, is it the pipeline that real? Yeah.
Oh my God.
Is the pipeline that real yet?
I mean, no. I mean, if you know Chicago area high school football, I mean, you know Naz is a football factory. That he was having coaches from all over the place. I remember, I think the quarterback for before him, or maybe two quarterbacks before him at Naz, was from Hawaii, because Naz recruits kids. So does like IMG Academy, which I think is where he ended up.
Yeah, that's where he is in Florida.
Yeah, they all recruit kids. Like, that's just the way it is. Yeah, I don't think so. I think he's a Naz guy. I think he's a guy who wanted to play in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I agree. And here's my other thing on the in-state issue. And it might just have, like, you made the good point with the way Lovey coaches and the type of, like, schemes he runs. That's more of a down south type breed of football. It's more of a Florida breed or a Texas breed. They don't exactly play that type of high school football in Illinois. So it's hard to find that mold in the state, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I could agree. I mean, let's like, I'll be honest. You know, this is me saying, hey, like, why aren't we getting the recruits right away? When in reality, you know, Mariah's completely right. It maybe isn't fair to judge Illinois yet. We haven't been successful. But I think when you hired Lovie Smith, that the expectation was that we were going to get some of these Illinois kids, because, you know, Lovie has a lot to offer. He has a lot to offer as well. You know, he's a NFL experienced coach. He has connections to the NFL. You know, he's a guy that I think coming in, we were like, yeah, he should get you drafted. And I think that'll finally pay off, because these are his guys now. These are 100% recruited by Lovie Smith. They are his guys. And there's a lot of them that I think could get drafted or will probably be signed somewhere, which is good. But that's, you know, I think Mariah's right. It's not time for us to judge it. But my other point is, there have been guys from Illinois who have committed, who have turned out pretty great. I mean, we got Luke Ford last year, even though he did originally commit to Georgia and then transfer. That's still a big Illinois recruit that we ended up with.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. Recruiting is all about momentum. And so all it might take is one guy. Like, you look at basketball, Illinois basketball was struggling to recruit in Illinois, and then Io comes. And now you've got the pipeline to Morgan Park because Adam Miller signed. Like, all it takes is one to kind of get the ball rolling, right. And then all of a sudden Illinois becomes an in-state recruiting, you know, powerhouse. Yeah. All it might take is a J.J. McCarthy. And then all these other guys are like, yeah, maybe Illinois is the place to go.
Right. And there's players that are like that. I mean, Luke Ford was a top 50 player. Marquez Beeson was a top 100 player from Duncanville, Texas. Isaiah Williams was a top 120 player from St. Louis, Missouri. Right. There are guys who are on the scene that could be that IO kind of player, and we hope to see them turn out. I don't think Beeson will be around for maybe more than 2 years. He got next year and the next one, and he probably is gone in the NFL. He's that good. You know, it's interesting. We'll kind of see how it plays out, but, you know, these next two seasons are the time where Lovie Smith's really got to show, you know, his cards. He's got to show what he's recruited and how he can mold guys into great players. And like I said, hopefully we'll see it next year.
Well, I'm glad we agree on something this week.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. We didn't get into.
No, please. I do not want to get back into it, because you guys are just ridiculous.
I think that his Florida connections are better. At least the staff's.
Okay.
Connections to Florida better, and so are Lovie Smith's connections to Texas and Texas
head
coaches.
But talking about the connections are entirely different than you just saying that, oh, 2 years as head coach in Tampa Bay really just means that we're just going to get all these Florida guys. Like, that makes sense. That was an entirely different question.
That's definitely not what we were saying.
It was phrased in an entirely different way. But also, last week was an entirely different question, too. It was regarding the Bears. So it wasn't the same thing that you just said. So we're not going to get into it because
I think we agree right now.
We're going to keep this momentum going. Then,
and yeah, we've got some Illini baseball to talk about, which is one of our favorite sports to cover. And we're going to start it off with the Illini of the week this week. We've decided to give it to Ty Weber, a senior pitcher from the Illinois baseball team who has signed a free agent deal with the San Francisco Giants. He didn't get drafted in any of the five rounds, but he definitely would have if there were 40. Same with a couple other guys, but he is officially a major leaguer. Congrats to Ty, and congrats to Illinois baseball for another guy in the MLB.
Right, okay. Well, I'm super happy to see him go. I think I didn't expect it, and I don't know if we talked about this before, the three of us, but we wholeheartedly expected Ty Weber to do the extra year regardless, and I expected to see Acton go.
Yeah, me too.
But we still don't know anything about Acton either. Right. And, well, I actually got the chance to speak with Ty about, you know, his entire process and what went down with that. And he said that it was a plan for him to just go back to Illinois because he didn't see anything else coming at him. And, you know, the draft was shortened. Everything was looking entirely different this year. He wasn't getting any phone calls. And then all of a sudden it was like 3 weeks prior and he gets a first call and then he's like, yeah, I'm going to take it. So,
yeah,
I mean,
and for me,
according,
go ahead. Sorry.
You're good. But like, according to him, he was ready to take the next step. And so I think even if he didn't get any offers and he came back to Illinois, he wouldn't have been happy because he was ready to move on.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Early on in the year, when you talked to him, it seemed like he was itching to get to the next level. And whenever you talk to Acton, it was always, you know, I still have a degree on the table. I still have the potential for a master's on the table. So Acton's priorities and Weber's priorities didn't exactly align. It seemed like Weber was really eager to get to the next step, and that's where he is. Where Acton obviously could have. He could have last year and gotten drafted. And he probably should have gotten drafted or signed this year because he probably would have led the country in saves again, and he'll have the opportunity to do it next year. So I still think for Acton, the MLB is in his long-term plans, and he probably will end up there. But he also still has the chance to set the foundation for the rest of his life with his degree and his master's if he comes back for the other year, whereas Weber was going off of a really strong 2 to 3 week period where he's pitched the best he has in his career. So I think the step to the next level made a lot of sense for Ty Weber.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it seemed like he planned it out with, you know, his parents and you know, what he was going to do. And when he got that call, I don't think anyone was in his house, right? That was like a big story. His dad wasn't even home, and he took the call. It's like, yeah.
Right. That was the entire thing that I got from him, was nobody was there. So can you imagine sitting on that for like, he said it was like 30 minutes. He was just home alone. He's like, yeah, San Francisco Giants just called me and I literally have nobody home to tell me or to tell.
Yep. Instant millionaire. No one to tell. He's gonna make a MLB club very happy someday.
Yeah, I agree.
He's just a guy who he could fit in a lot of places. I'm not sure if he's going to be a starter at that level, but I could definitely see him being a premier reliever in the MLB. It's too bad that his Illini career got cut short, but you got to wish him best of luck in San Francisco.
Yeah, without a doubt, all the best to Ty. Obviously, MLB is in a perfect situation right now. They're cutting down the minor leagues, cutting down the draft, so the road is as rocky as ever to the major leagues, but we wish Ty all the best in regards to the MLB. That's probably a conversation for a different day.
For sure.
All right, that'll do it for this edition of Oski Talk. Thank you, Mariah and Patrick, for joining me on this episode. We will see you guys all next Monday. ILL.
I and I.
I and I.